Tuesday edition. The is Tausch gonna be late for work for his first day at Johnson & Sons Paving? I heard he ran into some travel delays. That's not the what kind of first impression you want to be making on Johnson & Sons.
Lombardi time, old T.
Yeah. The minicamp edition. What time is he getting on the roll? That's really all. And I don't want to sound like I don't care about the rest of the show, because I do. Deeply. But is old T really going to be rolling some asphalt today, you know, once he shows up for work edition? I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430.
Yeah, we're losing Jason here for a minute, so we'll see if we can get reconnected with him. Seemed like we're having a little connectivity issues there. Tausch, are you doing okay down at your Johnson & Sons paving job site that you're hosting at here this morning?
I am. I made it. So I actually left early because I wasn't 100% sure. I'm actually down at a spot we've been to in the past, your neighborhood. I don't know if I'm doing if where I'm going this afternoon is somewhere, you know, but I'm in Muskego, and I was a little bit late because there's a big accident on 94. Mike Spaulding was keeping me updated. My Apple Maps, which I think I screwed up. I didn't use the Waze, so they didn't get me off of 94. So I stayed in. And where I thought I was supposed to be here about 20 minutes early, I ended up just pulling in at 9 o'clock on the dot. So I'm sitting at Fleet Farm in Muskego doing the show before I head over. I'm going to head over about 10:15, 10:30, because I think the pavers are going to be out there about 11:30, quarter to 12.
Well, that's exciting, Tausch. I can't believe you didn't bring me with you to Muskego. I'm very upset about it. By the way, we have Jason back here, too, so he's able to ask you all the questions you want to find out, but I'm jealous that I'm not there with you to document this experience.
I'm not. I am more than happy that you're not with me today. I don't know if when we go and do our Fleet Farm annual operation, if it'll be in Muskego. Obviously, it was a big hit last time, so I'm happy to be in Muskego. I'm actually going to be playing a little baseball here later this month, so I love Muskego. Big fan of Muskego, but I think coming solo without you is probably the right move this time.
Well, it means you don't have to worry about all the autograph seekers that'll be excited to have their favorite native son back in town. So I lost my connection here as I get ready for minicamp, but I'm back now. Did I miss you discussing when you'll be on the roller? And has that actually been confirmed?
It is not confirmed. I think I'm going to do the roller post show. I think where we have the groundwork is being laid as we speak. I think they're going to start about 10:30, 11. I'm going to get out and make sure I shovel and, you know, get my hands dirty, do all the stuff that you need to. I am geared up. I sent Jesse a picture as I'm sitting in my car with my gear today, my Johnson & Sons, all the stuff that they sent, getting ready for the work site. I got my orange sweater so I can be seen. I got my yellow vest so it's nice and bright. So if we get any road construction, cars coming by, and I got the hard hat. So we're all ready to roll. We're excited. Again, this has been a fun little contest at Johnson & Sons that we kind of came up with, and now we'll see if I can get the job done, because I know their teams can get the job done. Can old T still get the job done with my bad wheel? Kind of where I'm at. I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie to you.
So they set a high bar. They're the they're best in class. Are you?
Well, and
do
I don't
you
know
feel
how
like
high up this. I've seen rollers. Obviously, they sent me the miniature roller. I don't know how many, like, is it a ladder to get? Like, that's kind of what I'm nervous about. And then I don't know anything about driving a roller. So I got those two things that I want to say I'm, like, skittish about it, but kind of concerned.
So I'm curious, is this – I'm a little surprised by this. I got to be honest, because you were talking kind of big about the roller thing.
Well, it's
you
always
seemed
listen,
very confident.
Listen,
and now
man,
you got there.
You know this. When you're out and just talking and it's not really real, you're always going to talk, oh, yeah, it'll be fun. And then when reality, it's like going to Machu Picchu. I was excited about it, but I was also very nervous because I knew, well, it's going to be a lot of hiking and a lot of, you know, elevation change. And you get there and you're like, oh, boy. And it's kind of very similar. It's like, oh, this will be fun. You know, you shovel a little asphalt around. You make sure it's smooth. You fix the potholes. And then you start thinking about, well, I actually got to get up on a heavy piece of machinery and know what the hell I'm doing. That it does change kind of the mentality of what you're doing.
So you've compared now your assignment with Johnson & Sons Paving to climbing Machu Picchu. So I hope that both are the transcendent experiences, that this is the same as you experienced when you went to Machu Picchu. All right, one other question, because you're talking about using the roller, and that'll be great if you don't screw it up. You have told the story before, but not everyone listens every day. Who were you working for as a young man when you were driving some sort of vehicle that you didn't know how to drive? And was it on the Beltline that you were struggling with your driving skills with the stick shift or something? And is that a concern today with another unfamiliar vehicle?
No, I don't believe it's going to be as complicated. We call that a three on a tree. So I don't remember what the company's name was that I worked for. It was one of those summer intern programs that football guys we could go and get. I just remember it was Ramsey and myself and Timmy Rosga. And those two went to like fake, like they were working on somebody's basement. I don't know what the heck they were doing, but they tasked me with the job. Hey, can you run over to, let's just call it Steinhoffel's. You got to go pick up a bathtub. You got to get a bathtub. Kohler Services. I don't know if that's who we ended up using, but let's go grab that bathtub and take it out to the job site. Okay. Easy. That'll be fun. I could put some tunes on, get my windows down. Well, then they give me the truck, and it is an old school three on a tree stick shift truck. And I got to drive down the Beltline to get it. And it literally was my first day on the job. This wasn't like, hey, you know, come in. I thought for a second with it being a quote unquote football internship that it was going to be like, you know, pretty easy, right? No. So I get in the truck and I know how to drive a stick. You know, you hit the clutch and you put it in gear and you got to shift when you feel like the engine's moving. Boop, 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 boop. No problem. But I couldn't get this three on a tree to shift. And for whatever reason, it was kind of stuck. So I'm in there and then I didn't want to blow the engine up. So what I ended up doing was just keeping it in second gear the entire time. That's what it was stuck in. So I'm puffing along and I somehow get to the place to pick up the bathtub. So we got a flatbed in the back. We load up the bathtub. And now I'm like, oh God, you know, to start it and to get it back into gear was not easy. I do it. And we got about a 10-mile drive. I think I was out in Fitchburg, Wisconsin, to get this bathtub. And I'm going, and I'm in the Beltline. I stay in the far right lane because I wanted to go as slow as I could. Well, I felt it. So I started hitting the gas a little bit more and a little bit more. I'm getting radioed. Where's the bathtub? We got the installers here. Bah, bah, bah. So I'm thinking, all right, I better get moving. So I start hammering it a little bit, not like serious hammering. And I could start feeling that this thing – I tried to shift again, didn't shift. So I just said, the heck with it. I'm going second gear down the Beltline. And as I'm rolling, at this point, I don't believe I had a cell phone. No, I definitely didn't because this was late 90s. So it's just the walkie-talkie. And all of a sudden, as I'm getting past, I think, Fish Hatchery Road, there is a cloud of black dust and oil just pops onto the windshield. I swerve off to the right. Luckily, I figured out how to stop it, get it out, and I completely blew the engine up. So then I'm sitting here like, what's my story to tell this person that I never had met to make sure? And I thought for sure old T was going to be 6 hours into this job and fired. I should have been. So I have to radio across. So Timmy Rosga and Gramsy and our boss are all kind of, I said, hey, breaker, breaker, blah, blah, blah. I have a couple issues. I'm on the Beltline. The truck is down. I'm going to sit here. Can you send somebody out? And he's like, well, what happened? And I said, well, the engine got hot and boo, boo, boo. So somebody comes, and then these two knuckleheads are just killing me on the radio. I go back to the main shop. They come pick me up, and we had a heart-to-heart, like, do you know what you're doing and all this? And I said, well, the car wouldn't shift, blah, blah, blah. That was kind of one of those deals. I don't know how much longer I worked for them, but I think it was one of those where – a parting of the ways was probably in everybody's best interest.
So that, I love that story. That is the floor. You feel very confident that nothing that's not, quite that.
That's not going to happen today. I feel very confident about
it
that.
It was your first day on the job, but you knew all the walkie-talkie slogans already?
Listen, man, I know my walkie-talkie lingo. Like that, that's much
a DJ of the bear. Or were you just making this up?
Smokey and
the
Bandit. Like, you got it. There's plenty of movies that were, you know, that was a part of the deal. So that didn't bother me at all. So we got it done. I think the bathtub ended up making it out there at some point, and everybody was
covered in oil.
No, I did. The bathtub did make it out. I dropped the bathtub off, and then that's getting back to the shop is when things went a little sideways.
Thank you for your service. All right. Well, before you get to work on Johnson & Sons Paving's job today in Muskego, you need to tell us about another of our great partners, and that, of course, is Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Oh, indeed. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. If you have an older home and you need new windows, well, you know what? The way they did things a century ago, it is a little different than it is done today. Give Pella a call. Their team of experts can customize windows and doors that match any architecture from any era. And again, when we headed over to Peru and we were in Machu Picchu, I saw all these doors, windows, and thought, you know what? We could do it better. We got to get Gina Della to Peru. We got to keep expanding where we're going. Their team of experts can customize windows and doors that will match architecture from any era. It doesn't matter what kind of home you live in. If you order up today, Pella will give you 0% interest for 48 months. And if you know the climate today and how expensive stuff is, that is a deal. Certain restrictions do apply. The offer ends at the end of June. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
Tausch is live from the job site with Johnson & Sons Paving. I am in Green Bay getting ready for the Packers' first of two, not three, two minicamp practices. We'll talk a little bit about what to expect from today, how it differs, which it really doesn't, from the OTA practices, and what we'll be keeping an eye on. That's what we'll do next. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Continuing with Tausch on the job sites, I guess we're both on a job site in some way. As he gets ready to drive the roller for
you have
Johnson it,
Jason,
and Sons
you have
Paving.
Any interest in doing any blue collar work the rest of your life?
Blue collar work.
Paving, shoveling a little concrete, you know, doing some stuff that's just rugged.
Manly. Yeah, no.
Rugged.
Probably not. No,
I didn't think you did.
I'm not very rugged. Let's not make it sound like you're Johnny Rugged over there. Like, this is a great partnership and all.
Well, let me tell you something. In comparison to you, I am who's the most rugged dude you know? Like, what?
The brawny guy on the cover of
No, like, what actor would you say is, like, rugged? Like, Michael Landon in House on the Prairie was rugged. Right? That was a rugged dude.
Great reference.
No, I understand. I'm not saying he's the most. No, J.R. Ewing was more blue collar. He was more white collar. No, I'm talking who's the most blue collar rugged dude in cinematic TV history? Who is that person? Jed Clampett? Jed Clampett was pretty rugged.
Clint Eastwood and all those westerns.
Yeah, I was thinking of Clint. Yeah, I couldn't remember the name, but Clint Eastwood is pretty rugged. If you're comparing me to you, in our livelihoods.
Why are we?
I am Clint Eastwood, and you are not. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I know you are. I was actually, as I was doing my hit with Eric Bilstead this morning, we were talking about all this artificial intelligence and it's going to be on all these Apple phones and all this other stuff and how much easier the world's going to be. And I was like, do we really need the world to be easier? Like, I actually was saying, I am super excited to go get my hands dirty today. We need more, but it's not going to go that way. I see it. I know it's not, but do we really need the world to be easier than what it is?
No, we need the world to be better than what it is, but I don't think we need it to be easier. And for those of us that grew up, I mean, you obviously growing up on a farm and your dad, and I grew up in a household with a blue collar welder as a dad who worked in a factory for 40 years. We are very lucky that there are people that are capable of getting their hands dirty and doing the jobs that you and I are incapable of, because you may be more rugged than I may be, and you did play right tackle in the NFL for 11 years, but let's be honest, you're not really Mr. Fix-It when it comes to being able to repair items.
No, totally agree, but I'll tell you this, I'll get my hands dirty. I ain't going to sweat that. Am I super handy? Can I fix car engines?
Anything?
And no, well, I get fixed coming across the table here and knocking you out. No, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm Bob Vila. That's not who I am. But I'll say
Bob Vila.
I'll tell you that I can definitely.
That I'm curious. At this point in your life, do you have any references that are even from the 2000s? At this point,
who
is brutal?
Okay, tell me who a handyman is from. There isn't any, because we don't put them on cinema. We're not doing that anymore. So, no, there is. Who is the modern-day Bob Vila? I don't know. Babe Winkleman is the modern-day fisherman. Who's the new fisherman? I don't know, because there isn't anybody. There are no TikTok videos and social media about great fishing. It's about Lord knows what foolishness is out there. There isn't any of that. God, I
there's
saw
a whole,
old man today.
Bear like Grylls?
I don't know who that is.
Of course you don't. He's relevant nowadays.
Bobby Vila.
There's a whole network dedicated to home improvement work. There's all kinds of shows.
Well, you're talking about the Property Brothers? You're talking about the Property Brothers.
Oh, my God.
Is that who you're saying is all this?
They renovate houses. That's what Bob Vila did.
That's who you're saying, right?
Okay. And you don't find them to be sufficiently rugged.
The Property Brothers are the modern day Clint Eastwood.
In today's world, yes, that is true. I can't argue with that.
Okay. Well, before we get to our Super Bowl and preview and Ed Helms sucked on The Office, let's get to our preview of the minicamp, which Tausch, because of the attendance that they've had throughout OTAs, I don't think this is any different than the OTA practices, frankly. We may see the defense run at a higher rate more frequently than we did during OTAs, but when you have this kind of attendance, remember what minicamp was like in 2021 and 2022. 2021, Rodgers stayed away because he was unhappy with the organization, and all the wide receivers didn't come until the mini camp. That was the only time that all the wide receivers were there. And then last year, in 2022, the previous year, to Jordan Love ascending to the starting job, Rodgers wasn't here. We talked about how he should have been here. We criticized him for that. He basically admitted he was wrong with his behavior at the Jets offseason program a year ago. But I don't know if I go into today and tomorrow's practices thinking that there's anything overarching that I am really interested in, because it feels like just an extension of their OTA sessions. Fair?
I get what your point is, but there's something about the, you know, the idea of mandatory minicamp, and this might just be me again, Bob Vila-ing old school thoughts, but it feels like there's more team stuff. And from an OTA standpoint, you're trying to install, you're trying to get things done. I don't know how much of it was jog through or walk through. I know you're up there one day a week and they let you kind of see what's going on. But this is where I think maybe you can get the competition level cranked up just another notch. Now, saying that, you also have to be very mindful what happened in Detroit, where they lost a practice because of how physical it is. That was never really a concern. We'd always see oh, there's an NFLPA rep here today, tone it down, you know, how that all plays out. This is, I think, probably very similar to what an OTA is, but I think when you have mandatory minicamp and you have everybody there because nobody wants to get fined, you do want to kind of see how things fit. This is your swan song before everybody takes their summer break before training camp. So you kind of hope the intensity is ratcheted up, but I get what you're saying. If everybody is there and you're not having like it was in 21, where a group that hadn't been to the OTAs or the IPWs decide that they're going to come, things always pick up when all of the veterans are there. And with the fact that they don't have to do that and they've been able to get all this work in already because everybody's been there, that's a huge positive, obviously, for what Matt LaFleur is trying to get done.
What? How much do you think this does for them that they have had this attendance? Because it's a cute story, right? But once upon a time during your playing days, I remember using this phrase all the time, voluntary in name only. Right. I mean, the coaches were pissed if you weren't here. It was not voluntary. It was technically voluntary, but you hurt your chances if you were one of the players that said, no, it's voluntary, I'm not going to be here.
Well, and I think you still do. I mean, I think obviously there's guys that with you have your contracts and your kind of status, you're going to be fine. But that's why guys show up and they do it, because if you're a second tier 35 to 53 in the roster kind of lineup, you better be there. So, you know, voluntary in name only, that has never really been the case. As a matter of fact, I can remember in college, which is obviously much different in respect to people showing up. You don't have a choice really in college. They put a voluntary deal up and we had four or five guys that didn't show up. And let me tell you something, the way they were running and doing stadiums, let you know right away, if anybody had the thought process that it was voluntary in name only, they found out that day there isn't anything voluntary. When something is scheduled, you better be there.
Right. And look, this group has been great about that, but we did see a shift in the last few years of the Rodgers era where there were lots of guys, not just him.
Well, and Jason, and that's why how Jordan Love has approached this. And this is where I think Aaron has admitted, I don't know if he'll ever do it publicly, but his actions have showed you that the quarterback sets the tone for practicing. The quarterback sets the tone for what's important. And when Brett Favre continued to say, I need to be at practice, because he knows if somebody else is, oh, my ankle's a little sore, well, Brett's out, their starting quarterback's not there, yeah. All right, Brett's out there, I better tape up and get out there. You set the tone for how you're going to approach things. And I think, Aaron, you can look back at it and see what you want about it, but that sets the tone, and that's why more guys didn't show up. If Aaron Rodgers is like, y'all need to be at this minicamp, people are going to be there. If Aaron Rodgers is saying, I'm unhappy with the organization, I don't really give a rip what you do, guys aren't. And Jordan Love is obviously not at that point in his career, and I hope he never gets there. But when he is telling you this is important, we're just a young team, we haven't done blank yet, you better be here. Guys are going to be there. And if you're not, you're going to be left behind. And when you're trying to build something, you want to be right there in the mix. You don't want to be kind of an outlier, a bystander. And that's what I think has been really fun. And I'm sure Matt LaFleur, he's already kind of, you know, let us know a little bit subliminally, but not really. He's kind of let it be known how awesome this has been. And I'm guessing he's super excited because coaches want players in the building. There's just a different energy about it. You can draw stuff up and you can do great things with the twos and the threes, but it just is different when all your starters and everybody that you believe are going to make big contributions, when they're there, it's just a lot different energy in your building.
And that ties into something that on Kay Adams' podcast, Up at Adams, that Keyshawn Nixon said.
Oh, I love that. I saw that clip. I think I maybe even sent it to you guys. I absolutely loved it. And I know we got to go to break. I really want to delve into the part of this coaches competing with each other and it not being eggshelly. I mean, we said the whole time with Matt LaFleur and Aaron, it was eggshelly. I would guess the fact that Matt LaFleur can walk around and not have to be thinking about eggshells has to just be a liberating deal. And the fact that you brought a head coach in to lead your defense, and he ain't going to be about eggshells. He's going to be about – he's going to have a head coach's mentality, and mm-hmm. I love it. I loved what I heard from Keyshawn Nixon on Kay Adams' pod yesterday.
So there's two clips that Josh DiMaggio played for me during my visit with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We will get to both of those coming up, because there's the one where he talks about Halfley, which Tausch is referring to. There's also one where he talks about this different vibe and how Jordan Love handled the transition last year that I think is a really interesting insight too into how this team is wired and how different it is. And again, they have to win, and they did it during the second half of last season, but they have to continue it and take another step forward. But it's not always going to be puppy dogs and ice cream and rainbows and flowers, but this I don't know how you can be around this team or be watching this team and not have a really good vibe about it and the connectivity that all these young guys have to each other. And look, you know, with Jair Alexander seemingly back to being Jair, and I know they haven't played a game yet and he hasn't appointed himself captain again or anything like that, but he seems to be more engaged. Devondre Campbell, who I don't know how his interactions were with his teammates last year, but if he was unhappy, he's not here anymore. So that's a different dynamic. And they got young guys playing linebacker. It's going to be interesting to see how this team moves forward. But it's hard not to like what we're seeing and feeling from them. I want people to hear what Keyshawn Nixon had to say to Kay Adams yesterday. We'll get to that coming up. I want to remind you that Father's Day is this weekend. And if you're looking for something fun for dad, I'm hoping the girls will go to Fleet. We're at Fleet Farm all the time anyway. I'm hoping, even though I'm a much better griller than I am a blue-collar worker, as Tausch just pointed out, you can't miss the free Father's Day grilling apron decorating event at Fleet Farm. Bring in the family on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and you can decorate your very own free grilling apron for dad. You can find your store and learn more about the event online at fleetfarm.com/events. And while you're there, you can shop Dad's Day deals at Fleet Farm. No matter what kind of dad you're shopping for, they've got the perfect gifts. Tools, not for me. Grilling essentials, okay, you got me interested now. Sporting goods, with all the sports the girls do, I always am in that department. They've got it all. Find the best Father's Day gifts at Fleet Farm. More with Tausch live from the Johnson & Sons paving job site where he's getting ready to be on the roller. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com. Why don't we go talk about it somewhere? Only we know this could be the end of everything. So why don't we go somewhere?
Live, but not yet on the roller. Some great photoshopping. Now, is that the Clinksters Photoshop work?
That was the Clinkster, yeah.
Everyone seems to want to put Tausch on a roller, which is better than wanting to put him under
it. Clinkster's really making a push. Jason, you're going to have a tough call, man, giving us that list of five or six finalists to get to three or four, or whatever you end up doing.
I'd like to know, because you've put this on my plate, and I'm happy to have that responsibility, and I'm excited. Still looking for a brick and mortar location for the Hall of Fame. I was thinking maybe we could find a spot in Milwaukee's Third Ward, right next door to the National Bobblehead Museum that Phil Sklar has, because that way that'd be pretty fun. You know, we could have two iconic halls of fame right next to each other. But why did you decide that I'm only allowed to have three in the inaugural class?
Well, I just don't think we need to go crazy with 12, 15 people. I want this to be, not that it's going to be super tough, but I think it needs to be three, no more than five is what I would think. I mean,
is there a seniors committee? Do we need to have a seniors nominee?
I think if we ever get to 15 to 20 years of doing the show like Waddle and Sylvie have done, we can maybe start looking to expand, but we're not even a decade in. And you're going to start putting 10 to 15 people in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think we can do that. Not 10 to 15, but three seemed a little low. That was really my point. All right, let's get to some of what Keyshawn Nixon had to say yesterday with Kay Adams, and you talked about it. We'll do this one first, and then we'll get to the cultural one a little bit later. But this idea that Matt LaFleur, who is, I understand he's got nice eyebrows and really good hair, but he's competitive. Like, he is, say what you want about him and the things you may like as a Packers fan or don't like as a Packers fan. You know, he's not Mike Holmgren. He's not Vince Lombardi. He's a really smart guy, but he's also really competitive. And the idea that these two are matching wits in practice and Keyshawn Nixon is loving every minute of it. This is some good stuff from Up and Adams with Kay Adams. Here is Keyshawn Nixon talking about the Halfley effect in Green Bay.
He go at him. It don't matter what Matt say. We gonna compete for sure.
And like Barry didn't do that or something. Explain that to me. Like he did. He didn't challenge.
I just think some coaches compliment offensive coaches if they're like the head coach, and I think Half came in and not really caring about that. He cared about how can I get my guys on defense to play as the best defense in the league, and that's just really what he was on.
So, Tausch, what does that tell you about the dynamic? Because when you heard this, your ears perked up as well.
Yeah, I just think there's always a reverence might be the wrong word, but a submissive attitude towards the head coach because he controls your job. You know, yeah. He can fire you at any time. So there's always that. And that's where I think bringing in a head coach who's made some money, who's been in that chair, understands where Matt LaFleur's at, and is given the, you need to make this group better. And I think it says a lot about both guys. If this continues on, again, everything is always easier in May, June, and July. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that the head coach is allowing and has the, I guess, security and confidence to hire a head coach who he knows is going to push and is not going to be, you know, somebody that's just a yes man. I love that. So when you're out there, you get competitive juices. I've had many times where the D-line and the O-line coach have, you know, almost come to fisticuffs. And you know what? That's great. As long as they're not punching each other and being idiots, but having that passion and letting it out is not a bad thing. And that's where I think sometimes when you see that stuff, you know, those little brouhahas on the sideline, people get up in arms. It's like, nah, that's how it goes, man. This is intense and competitive, and you have a bunch of people that are not going to give in. Now, you can't be idiotic about it. That's the tricky part, and that's the line you have to get to. So for Jeff Halfley, I think his attitude all through camp is, I want our offense to look inept. I want our defense to be so suffocating that Matt LaFleur has to scramble and try to figure out, how the heck can we move the football? And if I'm Matt LaFleur, I want that. I want to be pushed and to be, you know, you talk about competition everywhere. Well, put in the coaching staff too. Don't just have two right tackles battling each other or quarterbacks or wideouts. You should have it on all this. And if your coaches are doing it, the players certainly acknowledge that. You just heard Keyshawn Nixon. They're not even through mandatory minicamp, and he's talking about it. What do you think that does for the mentality of your team when you do that? That's awesome. And that's now I want to see it continue, and I want to see it. And the hard part of this, too, and this is where the wide receiving thing is so intriguing, because you want guys pushing, but you also don't want the guys that end up 4 and 5 and maybe not getting the same amount of work. You don't want them to give in, but you also want them to accept their role and push to get more. Same thing when it comes to the coaching staff.
All right. So I'm curious one other thing, and then I want to get to the other clip, and then I want to talk about Mike Tomlin getting his extension. And I there's a lot of celebration, including among those who do my job, about him, and I am curious why he is viewed differently than other coaches. We'll get to that during the 10 o'clock hour leading into Packers practice for their first of two minicamp practices. But, Tausch, when you talk about competitiveness, right, we hear – iron sharpens iron, right? That was one of Kevin Green's favorite phrases. We have heard the coaches talk about how they want competition everywhere, and adding more young players creates more competition. Anders Carlson didn't have any last year. They recognized that that was a mistake. Now they've got three kickers in camp. When you are in that, because you've been there, or you've been, even when you were established, you had guys around you that were competing to keep their jobs. What is it at the NFL level that makes that so important to your culture? Because I think it's, you can make the argument, among other things, that with those veteran teams that they had with Rodgers, you kind of had all the lineups set. You knew everybody who was starting in every spot, and there wasn't that level of competitiveness, at least competing for jobs, as opposed
I get the idea of, you know, competing and, you know, always making sure you're putting in the work. What you hope for is you get a bunch of really good veterans that understand the importance of practice and, you know, getting your work done. But there's something about, you guys are always looking for that chip and that other, because sometimes it can get a little bit complacent, to use one of your headlines with Trey Wingo, and you can't, that is what kills culture, and that is what kills, you know, that veteran teams eventually, that does seep in. And how you avoid that, same thing with success, you know, I always talk about the Mike McCarthy handling success, that's that part of it, because you realize real quick in this league that you've never arrived. Unless you're holding a trophy with confetti, you're never there. You're always having to improve. You can't just stay the same and think that that's going to be good enough. And the only way to really do that, I know for me, I, you know, had a scrap and battle to get into the starting lineup. And then, you know, there's other guys coming in. And I really appreciated the 06, 0, you know, 05 was really tough, but it was probably my most rewarding season, because you got challenged in ways you hadn't. I had always just kind of been one of the guys, you know, Wally and Flanny and Frankie and Marco. And then when you get elevated up and you're one of the old guys, you have to even go more so, because now you're setting an example for the young guys. The young guys coming in is energizing for me. And I think for everybody, when you have change and you have that, it can be scary, but it also can be invigorating. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where that competition comes. That's where that comes into play, because it can be real easy to just sit back. Well, I just signed a new deal. Yeah, life is good. Once you start even thinking about that, you're in big time trouble. I don't care how talented you are.
I want to get to something else that Keyshawn Nixon said about the culture and how the shift was last offseason, which has continued into this offseason. We'll get to that coming up next. Speaking of being competitive, I know, Tausch, when you go out to Lac La Belle, you are at your competitive best.
Indeed, a historic past that meets a great tradition. Go to clubatlaclabelle.com to get your tee time going. We just went out there, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and had an unbelievable time. Went down there with a great group of 12. We played golf. We had some great cocktails out on the course. Then we finished. We ended up going up to the Rivalry Pub. Sat down. There was a beautiful wedding that we were able to watch while the sun was setting over the 18-hole putting green. You had the great fish fry. It was an unbelievable day. And then the beautiful part about it was we didn't have a three-hour drive back. No, it was 45 minutes to an hour back, either to Milwaukee or Madison, located right in Oconomowoc. Book your tee time today. Go to clubatlaclabelle.com to get started.
A little bit of breaking news from Ian Rappaport. File this under the not our problem anymore category. Jets coach Robert Saleh told reporters that quarterback Aaron Rodgers is not at minicamp today, an unexcused absence that is subject to fines.
Oh, boy.
Saleh said it was for an event, quote, important to him.
We'll get to that Packers culture next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. But what do you think an event that's important to him is?
Oh, there could be numerous things I would think that you could jump in there.
RFK Jr. rally?
That's the first thing I thought of.
Oh, boy.
That's actually the second thing I thought of. The first thing I thought of was like, what was that talk that he did virtually a few years ago with the... horoscopes or whatever. I forget.
Oh, yeah, with his astrology. I don't know. I'm eager to make sure that Jordan Love is here at practice. We'll find that out a little while here. They're going to kick off
Jason,
practice.
He
at
will
10:30.
Be. He'll be.
Yeah, I feel fairly confident. And as I saw Tom Pelissero point out, Aaron Rodgers has been at the entire Jets offseason program. And that it's only two practices for a mini camp, but when the coach comes out and says it's an unexcused absence,
yeah, it's not great.
It's not ideal.
What did Rodgers say on the McAfee show back in January that like they need to limit the distractions and focus only on football?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, that's interesting.
All right.
What's interesting about it, Jesse? What is so interesting?
Well, it just seems like, you know, a cause that's important to him and missing mandatory mini camp. It seems like he's focusing on something else.
So here's the deal, guys. This just reiterates the when you get older, priorities shift, priorities change. And that's why what Tom Brady did was so impressive. Now, some would argue, did his priorities shift enough? You know, I'm sure there'd probably be some people in his life that would ask that question. But football is a demanding profession, very demanding, especially for 6 to 8 months of the year. Yeah. So it asks a lot of you. You have to make a lot of sacrifices in order to be great at it. It is hard. That's why most guys, when they're mid-30s, they don't keep playing. Not only because of the physical part. Mostly it's physical. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make it out like it's – but there's a lot that goes into it, and that's what you find out.
And we'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour with this clip from Keyshawn Nixon. But, Tausch, I do think it's worth pointing out that when we're going to hear what we're going to hear from Keyshawn Nixon is him talking about the culture here. And I'm not saying that Rodgers missing a Jets minicamp practice is the end of the world. I'm not. But this is the kind of stuff that they are not dealing with here now. And whether you think it's a big deal, little deal, no deal, deal or no deal, whatever it might be, this is going to be a subject, and it obviously already is, for Robert Saleh. He's already been asked about it. He's already had a talk about it. That's not what's going to happen here today. I feel fairly confident that they're going to have perfect attendance. They're going to have guys that are injured that are here but aren't able to participate. But again, where this team is at and where it goes, which matters, don't get me wrong, but where this team is at heading into 2024, it's hard not to feel good about that. And we'll hear from Keyshawn Nixon talking about that vibe coming up.
And to your point on that, I think obviously everybody, it's a slow time of the year. So everybody's going to talk about every little thing. And this is something, no question about it. The fact that Robert Saleh is saying that publicly is very surprising, because he could easily just say, no, he's getting excused absence. He's been here all offseason, blah, blah, blah. And it probably would have been, you know, there'd be some people that really hate Rodgers would attack him still. But for the most part, it'd be like, okay, because – you know, he was there all for the majority of the offseason. But that's the part of it that kind of makes you wonder. And with all that said, if the New York Jets win 3 or 4 games in September and they get off to a hot start, you think anybody's going to care about the mini camp that he missed?
No, of course
not. But I promise you this. I'm going to promise you this. They get off to an 0-4 start and things start spiraling. I promise you that will be part of the narrative on Aaron Rodgers. It just will.
No doubt. All right, we'll get to Keyshawn Nixon's comments about the Packers culture coming up. Want to remind you, speaking of culture, the Bucs culture. You can listen to Behind the Bucs on the Bucs Audio Network Bucs Plus, which is presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucs dives deep into Bucs in 6, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucs star Brandon Jennings. They talk about Brandon Jennings' life story, the origin of Bucs in 6, how it became a rallying cry, and what it truly means to both Jennings and Bucs fans alike. You can find Behind the Bucs on Bucs.com/plus, the Bucs app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucs, presented by Gallagher. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch kicks off in 2 minutes, so stick around.